You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the most pivotal personalities in our Talmudic Torah literature, and that is the great, incredible Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest teachers of Torah and Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history. And this Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us, when it came to the Mesaros of Torah Shopeh from Har Sinai, he was the pivotal personality, especially after Churban Bayis Sheni, that made sure that he and his later Talmidim were most of the Torah Mehar Sinai to Klal Yisrael for all generations to come. If we have incredible literature on Torah Shabbat Peh, whether the Mishnah Yassin, and the Gemara is written on the Mishnah Yassin, Baba Yerushalmi, the Medrash Halacha, the Mechilta, the Sefora, the Sifrei, the Zayar, all of this literature was produced by the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva to disseminate the Torah Mehar Sinai through them to Klal Yisrael at large. One of the midos of Rabbi Akiva we're going to be analyzing today is the fact that he was a tremendous Val Bitacha. There is a statement mentioned by the Navi Habakkuk where he says, if I want to sum up what's the essence of Yahadus, he quotes the Pasuk Tzadik Benusi Yichya, Tzadikim live by the concept of being Balei Amuna, and this Rabbi Akiva took this concept even to a higher level. Chazal say that he was a Talmud, a devotee, of a person called Nochem Ish Gamzu. Anytime a tragedy took place to Nochem Ish Gamzu, he used to say, Gamzu Loteva, this phenomenon must be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, therefore I have to mekabel b'ahava, even sometimes negative things that happen to me. There's a Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, that really halachically makes this into a mandate. The Gemara says, a Mishnah Brachos, Kishem Shem Mavrachon Alatol Mavrachon Lahara, the same way you make brachas on good things, and that is to say, HaTeva HaMetiv, sometimes you have to make a bracha on negative things by making a bracha Al Dina Emes. So that's a concept of a Muni B'Tachon, but Rabbi Akiva, following his Rabbi, took it to the next level. Not only did he say this as a faith commitment, that when bad things happen, that, you know, this is quite obviously the Yad of Hashem, but he said, Gamzu L'Tova, that he was able to see the good, even in tragedy that's taking place in front of him, Gamzu L'Tova. Another format of this is, Koma D'Ovid, Rachman L'Tavu D'Ovid. Whatever God does in this world, he does ultimately for a good purpose, even though we might not see that good purpose initially right in front of us. So this Rabbi Akiva was the personification of always looking upon everything as ultimately a good phenomenon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, no matter what he was confronted with, even some of the greatest tragedies, he was always an optimist that there was the divine positive purpose behind this. That's why we call Rabbi Akiva the eternal optimist. His entire life from beginning to end, he never looked at the tzarech hashad that might be negative momentarily. He looked at the bigger picture, seeing how this is going to end up in good in the future, and therefore was able to survive, even with a life of many tragedies confronting him, as I'm going to describe very shortly. Chazal tell us one of the greatest tragedies that he encountered is the Gemara Masechta Sivamis describes that this Rabbi Akiva, at the height of the growth of his yeshiva, had 24,000 of Talmidim. He paired them up with two people in each Chavrusa, so he had 12,000 Chavrus of Chavrusas in his yeshiva, where people were learning with each other. The Gemara tells us, as big as the yeshiva was, nevertheless, a terrible tragedy took place. And that is between the Yom Tov of Pesach and the Yom Tov of Shavuos, during the period of the Sefiras HaOmer, 33 days had, unfortunately, a tragedy taking place. The 24,000 Talmidim all died in 33 days. And Chazal tell us, if that's the case, you have a Rosh Yeshiva that confronted almost 900 Levayas per day. Just think about it. And any normal Rosh Yeshiva of Bizman HaZeh, if they would, God forbid, would ever have such a tragedy taking place, that the entire Yeshiva passes away with the numbers I'm talking, within 33 days, many Rosh Yeshivas would say to themselves, I guess that was a failure. I'm just hanging up my shingle. I'm retiring from being a Rosh Yeshiva. and therefore we go into a very private life. When Rabbi Akiva saw the tragedy of his Talmidim dying, within 33 days his entire yeshiva was wiped out, the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed to him the reason he had this take place. After all, he was a maimon, that if his Talmidim are passing away, this has to be orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They all died from the same exact terrible disease, Aska, very, very, very painful type of disease. And when it came to why they died, the gilui that was given to Rabbi Akiva to understand why Hashem allowed this to happen, Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh, they didn't show the proper respect and kavod you're supposed to show to a fellow Talmud, to a fellow Talmud Chacham. There seemed to be an animus between the Talmidim, and when Hashem saw this type of behavior taking place, not giving proper respect to your fellow Talmud, not being a chazik them, not wanting to listen to what they have to say when it comes to their opinion, but there seemed to be an animus of total disrespect one to the other. Unfortunately, what happened over here is you had a continuation of why Churban Bayis Sheni took place. There's a Beferish Gemara in Masechtas Yoma that makes the following statement that makes this tragedy even more painful. It says the first place in Mikdash was destroyed because of the Averis of Avodah Zarah, Gilarais, Veshicha Saddam. So the Gemara says, are we seen ever the tragedy of Bayis Rishon? Well, why was the second base of Mikdash destroyed? You didn't have Avodah Zarah, Gilarais, Veshicha Saddam in the time of the second base of Mikdash. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, you know what happened during the second base of Mikdash? There might not have been those three cardinal sins, but there was rampant sinas chinam between Talmid HaChachamim of the generation of the second Beis HaMikdash. If you want to know how bad the sinas chinam is, I have a quote from the great Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv, in his Hagdama to Sefer Bereishis, in which he says, if you want to know what was the churban of causing Bayis Sheni to be destroyed, so he says there was a sinas chinam on the following level, that if they saw another Talmud Chacham not holding the same exact identical hashkafa of Torah that they have, having different opinions, opposite opinions, instead of the malam mitzchus, the shivim panim l'teira, the multiple ways of perceiving things, and therefore you have to hear what the other person says, to hear their argument, for you to give a counter argument, but it's supposed to be in a form of ne'imus. It might be mulchamto shel teira, but it has to be with a certain sweetness and a desire to come to the MS. When they saw somebody not conducting themselves the way they felt hashkafically, halakhically, they said upon that person, you're a tzeduki and apikairos, they started calling the person names, defaming the other person, putting the other person down, lack of respect for somebody else's halakhic opinion, and that caused such an animosity of that generation, such a chilul shem hashemayim, that this is what Torah is all about. Instead of bringing shalom and baracha by people learning with tremendous hasmada and understanding and comprehension, but realize there's not only a bein adam l'malkum what you're learning, there's also a bein adam l'chavero. They didn't consider the bein adam l'chavero. They only considered the lumdus of the bein adam l'malkum. This lack of kavod respect and sin of bayis sheni never continued after the churban of bayis sheni, and never Rabbi Akiva's talmidim still had the personification of these midas ra'as, of not giving cover to one's fellow Talmid Chacham, who is a Talmud with you in the same yeshiva of the great Rabbi Akiva. When Nachil Hashem, unfortunately, was seen by people, Rabbi Akiva, it was revealed to him, that the Baruch Hashem decided he can't have these 24,000 Talmidim give up with the Messiahs of Tevra Shabbat, the cries of all generations. You have to be with the famous statement of Avraham Cutler Zatzal in his Svarim, that in order to be a Maisa HaTeva, you have to have not only knowledge of Kula Teva Kula, you have to be a Baal Derech Eretz, a Baal Chachma, a Baal Chesed. And if that's the case, if you're only a great Torah machine with knowledge, and therefore you're able to espouse what Teva is telling us on an intellectual plane, but the Be'ein Adam Chaver is totally missing, and in many respects is totally faulty by the fact you've been choshe people, and accusing him of something that they shouldn't be accused of. This caused such a chilul Shem Shemayim based upon the Talmidim who were acting this way, that the Rebbeinu Shlom took him out of this world. And the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos that despite this fact, Rabbi Kiva reacted to their death with two things. Number one, he quoted the following, that in order for you to basically be called a real Ben Teira, a Bas Teira, and have the schus to become a Talmud Chacham or Talmid Chacham, to be most of the Torah to the next generations, you have to be a person who represents the Kla Gadol Shebe Teira. And what's the Kla Gadol? What's the most important precept of the Torah? The mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha zeh Kla Gadol b'teira. The most important principle of Kula Teira Kula is to be a person who personifies Avas Yisrael, Avat the Kla Yisrael, Avas Abriyos. That is the prerequisite for you to become not only a Talmud Chacham in your own right, but the person who should have a schus to teach Torah to all further generations to the end of time. And therefore, he said on his Talmidim Nevach, they didn't have this midah. Therefore, Lanogu Kavit Zebezeh, Amatz Tikadin, if Hashem took them away, Hashem realized what he's doing, Gamzul Ataiva. And if that's the case, he searched in Eretz Yisrael for the next group of Talmidim that he wanted to educate, to be Moser, Kola Terekula to them for all generations to come. And the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos, Hashem gave him Siyata Deshmaya, despite the feeling of desolation of the world at large, that we no longer have Rabbi Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim in the world to teach Torah to the next generation. He found Gedolim living B'Dorom in the southern sect of Eretz Israel, and he taught them Kola Teira Kula of what he was giving over to the 24,000 Talmidim. He now had five Yekarim, great Tzadikim Talmidei Chachamim, that in their lives personified the concept of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elezer ben Shemua, and Hashem gave Siyata Deshmaya, even though there are five instead of 24,000, Haim, Hebmidu, Torah, Bais Hashah, for all generations to come. All the Torah knowledge we have today ultimately emanates from these great Talmidei Chachamim, who personify not only a love and a connection and dedication of an Adam Malkim between themselves and the Kaddish Baruch Hu, in the Diktuk HaMitzvahs, in the Limud HaTeira, in the Harvanya B'Teira, but they also personified the Bein Adam L'Chavero, the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which basically had to be the prerequisite to enter into the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Kiva, called Gadol Shebeteira, and therefore they were the new generation of Gedolim, of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, that gave us the ability to have the level of Torah knowledge we have today. They were responsible bringing the concept of Mishnah and the concept of ultimately the Talmud Bavli Yerushalmi, the Midrashi Halacha of the Mechilta, on Sefer Shemos, the Sifra and Sefer Vayikra, the Sifrei on Bar Midbar Devarim, all these major Midrashi Halacha, the concepts contained in the Zohar. So there was a Maseiros of Teresh of Bapeh, both the Nigla, both the Nistar, that was ultimately disseminated to Klal Yisrael to this day from these great five Talmidim. But what's interesting to note is despite the tragedy he suffered, he saw the Yad Hashem, he understood what the reason is Hashem did what he did, and for that reason he accepted it. He might have made a Dina Emes at the Levayas, but he says, I understand why Hashem did what he did. You have to be a person on a certain dariga of Ben Adam Lechaver, besides Ben Adam Lamakam, to have the schus of being a Rosh Hashiva and a future disseminator of Teres Hashem. Since his Talmid Nevech did not pass that specific exam, as the Gemara describes, they were taken out of this world at that point in time. Rabbi Kiva therefore replaced his Talmidim with these five Tzadikim, who literally took the mission of the Masorah Torah to all future generations. And these five, rather than 24,000, which personified the Ben Adam Malkam and Adam Chavero, caused the Shekidah Shem Shemayim, Siyata Deshmaya, was given by Hashem to these five Talmidim through the inspiration and knowledge that Rabbi Kiva gave them to be the ones to be most in favor of Har Sinai to all the generations till the end of time. This is an historical fact. But Rabbi Kiva was able to bear with this tragedy because of his attitude of Amunah Bitachon, Gamzu l'tov, k'ma aver b'chman l'tovu David. And that was there for the internal optimism of this specific Rebbe Kiva. I want to deal today with a very interesting historical sugya in Shas, in which Rebbe Kiva once again demonstrated his eternal optimism, his belief that whatever happens, even if there's a tragedy taking place, what Hashem does in this world, even momentary tragedy or destruction, will have an ultimate beneficial tachlis in the future. And go to the famous Gemara in Masechtis Makos that deals with the tour of Har Habayis by Rabbi Kiva and his fellow Chaverim after Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara tells us in the last Daf of Makos Chav Dalet Amud Beis that the great Rav Gamliel, the great Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the great Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Kiva wanted to see what the Romans had done as they destroyed the magnificent, beautiful Beis HaMikdash of Bayis Sheni. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah that this Beis HaMikdash was so gewaldic, so beautiful, so magnificent. The materials that went into its construction made it historically at that time the most beautiful temple built to a god in the period when this specific Beis HaMikdash HaSheni was constructed towards the end of the Tekufa of Bayis Sheni. If you didn't see this temple, Gemara says in Sukkah, you never saw a temple to God with such magnificent beauty and grandeur. They came, the Romans. Not only did they kill Rachmanu Litzlan, the Jews living in Yerushalayim, when they finally conquered it, not only did they kill the officiants who were serving and doing their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but this magnificent temple, the Bayis Sheni, they took it, and within a very short period of time, they destroyed the magnificent Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, eliminated the entire Bayis, and when these Gedolim came down to see Har HaBayis, where the Beis HaMikdash used to stand, no walls left, no magnificent precious stones still in existence, representing the walls and the chambers of this Makom HaMikdash. And even where the Kiddush HaKadoshin was, everything was destroyed. It was ground down to fine dust. And even the Kiddush HaKadoshin was full of embers of a burnt house, total dust on the floor. The foundations of the Mikdash were also destroyed. And they also saw the desecration of wild animals running over the floor of Har HaBayis. Wild animals even going to where the Kiddush HaKadoshin was, where it was the holiest place in the Makom HaMikdash, the most intense when it comes to Kedushas HaShchinah. And they started to cry. And Rabbi Kiva asked them why they're crying. He says, the place where the Torah says, Hazah Karav Yumas. No person, no entity can ever go to the Kiddush HaKadoshin unless you're the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. You're going to die, you're going to be killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach, Shav Shulam Hilchu Bay. But look what's going on. Wild foxes are desecrating the Makom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All different types of wild animals are running loose over there. Volo Nivka. To see the desecration of the Makom HaMikdash, we shouldn't cry. And therefore, that's what they had toward Kriya. And they made the brachos to make when you see a destruction of the Makom HaMikdash, as Halacha requires. But Rabbi Kiva, upon seeing what they did something very strange. Instead of crying with them, a smile broke out on his face. And his other chavera turned to Rabbi Kiva and said to Rabbi Kiva, what in the world are you doing? What's the smile? What's the simchas panim you're demonstrating? Why are you acting this way? So Rabbi Kiva says, I understand why you think my attitude, my behavior is incorrect, but I'm going to explain to you what I see over here and what I perceive over here. And since my hashkafah has always been, when it comes to tzadik v'seichel, you have to live be'emunah and believe kol ma'adav rachmanu l'tavu do'av, whatever God does, he does for good. Gamzu l'teva. I'm going to explain to you what I see over here that is not a besura ra, but a besura teva for future generations. So listen carefully as I explain it to you to understand what's going on in my mind. To show you that despite the Churban HaBayis HaSheni, I'm an eternal optimist. I see good and even bad things that take place. So let me explain to you my position and why I'm acting the way I am. So what does Rabbi Akiva do? The Gemara tells us, in order for me to be masbir, my attitude over here, I want to quote a pasuk from the great Yeshayahu HaNavi of Bayis Rishon, and a comment he makes. And he made this comment before even the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What did he say? So let me quote you the pasuk. The pasuk says that Oidili Eidim Nemanim, we're giving over the testimony of trustworthy witnesses. Who are they? The testimony and the nevuah of a person called Uriah HaKoyen, and the testimony of another great spiritual personality, another of that little lived even to Tobias Sheni, as Zechariah ben Yerachiahu. I'm going to give over their joint testimonies and develop for you an hashkafa that you should keep in your heart and mind for eternity. So, says Rabbi Akiva, what is the connection between Uriah HaKoyen's nevuah, where he says in his nevuah, very specifically, L'chein begalalchem tziyan sada ticharesh, because of the sins of the Jewish people, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and the floor, the area where the Beis HaMikdash is, will be plowed asunder, nothing will be left. So that was the statement of that specific Navi in Bayis Rishon of what's going to happen to the Beis HaMikdash in a couple of years from now. Total destruction. Total elimination. And when it comes to Zechariah, what was Zechariah's Navu in his Sefer? Od Yeshu Zekenim V'Zekenos V'Rechoivos Yerushalayim. There will come a time that old men and old women will be able to sit in the parks of Yerushalayim. Ish Al Mishanto B'Yodom Merav Yomim. They're going to be so old, they're going to have to walk with walking sticks, so they should be able to walk without a problem. When it comes to what's going on in the parks, besides the old men and women sitting there and taking a pleasure of sitting in the beautiful park, in the streets, in the park, you'll see the cities filled, Yamalo, Yoladim, Yolagais, Misachim, Rechavasar, boys and girls playing in the parks, a tremendous spirit of rebirth, creating Eretz Yisrael to be a makom, where people enjoy living there, people enjoy the park environment, older people, kinderlach, tremendous simcha when it comes to living in that type of environment. So says Rabbi Akiva, what does the nevuah of Uriah that deals with the potential churban of Bayis Rishon, when the nevuah was given concerning Bayis Rishon, why did Yeshayahu ever connect it to the nevuah of Zechariah that refers to the tekufa of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Israel after Golus Bavel, and the reestablishment of the Yishuv, not only building the Beis HaMikdash, establishing once again Yerushalayim Yad HaKodesh, making parks for tzaddikim, sitkanyos, to be able to sit there in their old age, to have hana in the environment, sitting in these beautiful parks, and kinderlach playing in the streets. What was the connective link of the great Yeshayahu HaNavi, one of the greatest of the Nevi'im, to bring a nevuah of tragedy mentioned in Bayis Rishon with a nevuah of another Navi concerning the ultimate Bayis Sheni? Why did he connect and link them together? I'm going to be masber, the yesod, and when you hear the yesod of what that teaches us, I'm going to apply it to our current situation, and you'll understand why I still feel, despite what you're witnessing with me, eternal optimism concerning the future. And this is what Rabbi Akiva meant. The pshat I'm giving you now in Rabbi Akiva, based on what I just set up for you, was articulated by Arichus, by one of the great Gedolim, one of the last Rosh Yeshivas of the Volozhin Yeshiva in Russia, the great Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik, the great Beis Halevi, he was called, he was the father of the famous Rav Chaim of Brisk, who established the Brisk method of learning, and Hashkafas of Brisk. So he says, if you want to know what Rabbi Akiva meant over here, this is the following Hezbollah. Listen very carefully. He pointed out, Rabbi Akiva was the repository of Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh. Chazal compare his Tefisa of Torah, similar to Tefisa of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, And when he gave up what he gave over, he gave an understanding of Kol HaTorah Kula to his Talmidim and gave us a clear vision based upon that Torah of Shebiksa Shemopeh in its entirety, connected together to all future generations. And we're part of the Mesorah of that early Mesorah of Rabbi Kiva to his Talmidim. What did the Beis Halevi say is the Pshat of Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva remembered that when it came to Klal Yisrael becoming Klal Yisrael, it didn't happen accidentally. Hashem, in the first 2,000 years of Briyas Olam, waited to find the right person who he and his wife were going to be the individuals that ultimately were going to create Mishpachos that would develop into what ultimately would become Hashem's Am HaNivcha, Am Segula, Klal Yisrael. He waited and waited, and at the end of 2,000 years of Briyas Olam, he chose Avraham and Sarah as the people who are going to be his spiritual agents in this world to bring God's divine spiritual message to the population of people living on the face of this earth. The concept of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the manifest, the concept of Hashem, who Hashem is, and what our requirements are, and adhering to the rule of Hashem in this world, observing Hashem's Torah that He gives us. At that time, Avraham and Sarah were espousing the Zaymis B'nai Noach, which was the obligation of the non-Jewish world at that point in time. But despite that, Avraham and Sarah, such tzaddikim, when they were told by Hashem they're going to be the progenitors of Klal Yisrael in the future, and Hashem told them they're not just going to have Zaymis B'nai Noach, they're going to be given a much larger Torah, Tayag Mitzvahs, much more difficult form of religious observance of Hashem, an incredible amount of spiritual, halachic, and ashkafic requirements. So Avraham and Sarah said to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we appreciate the schus that we're going to be the progenitors of that future nation, but honestly, we'd like to have a glimpse and a taste of what our great-great-grandchildren are going to observe in the future from Kabbalah Satera. So Hashem, through Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh Ramban says, gave them an understanding of what is the content of the Torah, Talmud, and Mitzvahs that their great-great-great-grandchildren are going to literally observe and transmit to the rest of Klal Yisrael for thousands and thousands of years to the end of time. Avraham and Sarah says, we want to know it. Not only do we want to know it, we like to even observe it now as an Einam Mitzvah Osa, as an option. We're not obligated. We want to have a taste of what it means to observe all these mitzvahs. And Chazal say, Einich Enami. Avraham and Sarah observed from that point on the Tayyak mitzvahs of the Torah. They were Isaac in the Torah that taught us those Tayyak mitzvahs and observed them. This tradition of doing that was continued by Yitzchak and Rivka. And finally, this tradition was then continued by Yaakov, his wives, Leah and Rachel, and the children of Klal Yisrael at that time, the Kindlach, of especially Yaakov Avinu, the Yud Bei Shvatim. They were meticulous to observe the Tayyak mitzvahs as Einam Mitzvah Vaisa because of the chavivas and the love they had for Hashem. They wanted to taste the flavor of doing all these mitzvahs they were required to do at that point in time to show the love and desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban claims, in his Perish L'Chumash, they were mocked to observe these Tayyak mitzvahs, the Einam Mitzvah Vaisa, in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel. When they left Eretz Israel, and they went abroad, going to Ramban, they were not machbir, they were not medakte to observe all tayyag. They only observed the Zayin mitzvahs, which is what Ika Hadin were required to do, besides the extra mitzvah of Bris Milah that was given to them at that point in time before the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula as a halachic responsibility. But at the end of the day, they had a taste and flavor of the spiritual requirements of Klal Yisrael in the future, which they participated in as an option, Einam Mitzvah at that historical period of time. Now, the fact is, Avram also was confronted with all different types of asar and nisyanos, all types of potential momentary tragedies. What was his form of reaction to it? He saw the Yad Hashem. Sadly, he was a tremendous maimon in Hashem. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, instead of having anger and hurt by being tested with 10 nisyanos, on the contrary, he adhered to his belief in Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was also an eternal optimist. And therefore, what was the final psak of Hashem and Avraham's Avodas Hashem? It showed the level of the Ava, the love, that Avram and Sarah had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that despite all the difficult Nisyonos, including the Akedah Yitzchak, Avram and Sarah maintained their love and dedication and respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It showed the love of love and connection and bitachon that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
This is the quality of the Sarah that gave over to the Gedolim and the great Gedolos of future generations. And Rabbi Kiva, in his time frame, inherited that tradition, incorporated it into his way of conducting his life, and therefore, anything that happened to Rabbi Kiva, he was a malamit schus and said, there is a good message over here, we just have to find it. So it came to what he said, in quoting the pasuk from Yeshayahu Navi, to give nechama to his fellow colleagues on Chubrin Bayasheni, on what they witnessed with their own eyes. So says Rabbi Kiva, when Hashem approached Avram to tell him, you're going to be the progenitor of the Jews, he told them, in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, we're making a covenant to give a definite chizuk to the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram and the rest of the Avos and Klal Yisrael and all future generations, the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which I've mentioned many times in my shurim over the years, there were four component parts. The ones I dealt with up until now in past shurim is the first promise that Klal Yisrael as a nation can never be destroyed with total genocide of all men, women, and children. The Jewish people, when they're established, will be an eternal people that will survive all different types of onslaught of the non-Jewish world. Any attempt to devastate them, to destroy them, to totally eliminate them. Hashem says, I'm going to be your mug and your shield to prevent it from happening. Hashem never made a promise to any other nation on the face of this world that they will be an eternal nation that will survive all types of potential wars and destruction and annihilation. Only the Jewish people were promised this, and the fact I'm giving you a shiur today on this topic shows that that haftacha of Hashem, of the eternal existence of the Jews, is being mekuyim over thousands and thousands of years, despite anti-Semitism taking place, even to this very day. The second premise was, Hashem said that your ability to have children, which b'derech hatev you can't have, Avraham, you're going to live l'mayla m'derech hatev, v'yotza achutza, you're going to live mechutz miderech hateva. The Gemara says there are no mazalos, and there's no natural phenomenon in this world that has a shlita, the power to overrule the Jewish people. You'll live l'mal miderech hateva with your physical existence, l'mal miderech hateva with your spiritual existence, l'mal miderech hateva when it comes to the ability to overcome all types of political, governmental entity in this world that try to put you down, or perhaps try to kill you, try to destroy you, put you into prison. None of that stuff is going to stop Klal Yisrael from going forward and accomplishing the spiritual mission in this world, as Hashem described to Avraham in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Whatever they want to do, you'll overcome all types of obstacles that other nations in the face of this earth could not overcome. And then the last two, which I want to deal with in the next couple of minutes, is the promise to Eretz Israel. Hashem says you're not getting Eretz Israel now as the possession immediately. X amount of years from now, Klal Yisrael will inherit Eretz Israel. It's not just going to be just a Yerusha, an inheritance. The Torah Pashas Eir later calls their inheritance a higher category. It's called a Morasha, an inheritance that's a full-fledged heritage. And the only other thing besides Arizona that's called a Morasha in the Torah is the Torah itself. Torah Tzivulot Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. The Eretz Yisrael is called a Morasha, and the concept of Torah is called a Morasha. What does it mean? The same way Torah is eternal, and the Klal has a chiyuv to be Isaac in it, and derive spirituality, connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Torah, the mechuyuv to be most of that Torah to their children and to all future generations. It can't be given away to anybody else, any other nation. It's Klal Yisrael's eternal heritage and Yerusha from Dar Dar Ar, from one generation to the next generation. Same thing with Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel is the place on the face of this earth that you have the unique capacity to connect Hashem on levels you can't connect any place else. The Hashgacha Pratis that you have in Eretz Israel by Hashem. And the Kedusha, Hashem's divine presence, you feel there, that you cannot feel any other place on the face of this earth. It's unique and distinct. You have to live in Eretz Israel, build Eretz Israel, and make sure that there's a preservation of land Eretz Israel in future generations, inheriting it and living there until the end of time. So that's the concept of the bracha of Eretz Israel. The bris was established in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And it was mentioned by Hashem many times in the Torah over and over again, just reminding Klal Yisrael of that matana of Eretz Yisrael in the Bris Bein Habesharim. But there's one more part of the Bris Bein Habesharim. Hashem told Avraham, this is not pure nepotism, but to be Zocha, Halach Lamasa, for all that is taking place, there's one major Yisod. And what's that major Yisod? What the Rabbeinu Shalom therefore said to Avraham Avinu is that you have the responsibility to give this Mesaris over to the Jews, but they have to realize one more point. They have to be Zocha in Teirev and Mitzvahs and Devekas Hashem for all these brachas of the Bris Bein Habesharim to take place. If for some reason the Nachshon and Teirev and Mitzvahs and they rebel against Hashem, they're going to be denied momentarily residency in Eretz Israel. They're going to be put in a state of galus as a part of the kapara process, as a wake-up call of what they did. And ultimately, if they do tshuva, they're going to return back to Eretz Israel, which means that when Klal Yisrael has its historical cycle of existence taking place, if Klal Yisrael are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they'll live in a geula mode in Eretz Israel with all the brachas that Hashem mentioned and promised them being fulfilled. And if Klal Yisrael rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem has to momentarily put them into galus, the Teres Kapara, and be a wake-up call for them that you didn't act properly in Eretz Israel, it's a momentary phenomenon. They ultimately, if they do tshuva, they'll be returned to Eretz Israel. And if that's the case, the connection to Eretz Israel is eternal. But if they're not doing the proper things, they're not going to be in a geula mode, they'll be in a shemama mode, a desolation mode. And therefore, that will deny them the ability to live in Eretz Israel during the galus until the tshuva and Hashem will return them back to the geula mode again. So this was the Bris Bein Habesharim. Now, says Rabbi Akiva, when it came to Bayis Rishon, which Yishai was talking about, the three Averas Chamuras, Avodah Zarah, Gerash, Veshuchas Adam, the Gemara says, was the cause of the Churban of Bayis Rishon and throwing Klal Yisrael into the Golus of Bavel for 70 years until Kapara took place, until Tshuva was done. And the level of destruction of Bayis Rishon was total desolation. Nothing was left. Everything was ground to dust. The magnificent Migdash of Shlomo HaMelech. When Klal Yisrael did tshuva, and they returned after 70 years of Galus Babel, but they returned at a point that the Nes of Purim had taken place, and the desire to destroy them, of genocide, men, women, and children, was totally destroyed by Hashem, the Bris Bein Habesharim. The promise of returning to Eretz Yisrael, rebuilding the base of Migdash, was helped and facilitated by the heads of the Persian Empire, Mishli Koresh, later on, Darius number 2, all of them helped facilitate financially, politically, militarily, to have the Jews be able to return and to rebuild the second base of Migdash. And when they rebuilt the second base of Migdash in Yerushalayim and the cities they settled in, parks were created again, and men and women were sitting there into their old age, and children were playing. So in Bayis Sheni, the Nevuah of Zechariah was Mekuyim. They went from a Galus mode at the time of the Nevuah of Uriah HaKoyim, Bayis Rishon, to a Geula mode of the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Sheni. So the Pasuk in basically Yeshayahu is telling us that Jews have a cyclical connection to Eretz Yisrael. When they do what they have to do, they're in a Geula mode. When Klal Yisrael don't do what they're supposed to do when they rebel, they're in a Galus mode. So says Rabbi Kiva, this Pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi was not just describing by Srishan and by Sheni is the one-time Nevuah, but is telling us a Yesait, that in the Bris Bein HaYesharim, this is the historical record of what Klal Yisrael is at that point in time. If you see them in Eretz Yisrael, it's a Geula mode. If you see them in Chutz La'aretz and Golus, and Eretz Yisrael is in a state of Shmama desolation, it's a Golus mode. When he saw the level of destruction of the second base of Migdash, similar to the destruction of by Srishan, he realized that unfortunately we're now entering a Golus mode, but as the Navi promised through Zechariah for all of our generations, when Klal Yisrael will do tshuva in Chutz La'aretz, Hashem will then return us to the rebuilding of a Bayis Shlishi, a final Geula, at a point in the future. So Rabbi Kiva was able to see the Bris Bein Habesharim and the Nevuahs of Yeshayahu coming together to reassure him that this is only temporary. By Srishan's Korban and the Gula afterwards was a temporary phenomenon of Gullus. Bias being destroyed the second time, like the first Bias Beis HaMikdash, is a temporary destruction, and we'll have a gula in the future. But the Beis Halevi goes one step further. There's one other nevuah that basically Rabbi Akiva remembered to be the makiv patish on my shir this morning. And that is, when it comes to describing shmam and destruction, and the Jews having to live in a state of galus, so in the parasha we read the past week of Bechukosa, we have the klalos. It says, Vahashimosa ni esoretz, I'm going to render the land a state of desolation. And the adversaries which live in the period of the destruction of Eretz Yisrael because of your sins, if they want to come into Eretz Yisrael when you're kicked out and you're in Galus and displace you and try to establish Eretz Yisrael as their homeland and agriculturally develop the land and make this a part of their kingdom, if they try to do that, I'm giving you a divine promise, they will not succeed. If you can't live in Eretz Yisrael because of Yechatayim and the land becomes Shmama, uninhabitable, in your absence in Golis, if they come to try to retake the place instead of you, the land will be Shmama for them, no matter how skilled they are in technological methodologies and agriculture and all the other stuff they know. If Hashem wants the agricultural capacity of Eretz Yisrael to be shut off momentarily, and he flips the divine switch, no Ummah will usher under the face of this earth will able to reverse that, and they will not succeed. So the Ramban says on this pasuk, Yehayaftei the Ramban. Ramban says what it says over here, that the state of Golis because of Araveros, and the land becomes Shamaim, Shmama, and the Jews are kicked out going into Golis, and they can't survive and live in Eretz Yisrael because there's no way of surviving there physically. The fact that Hashem promised not only land Shmama for you Jews, but it's Shmama for the whole world at large. So says the Ramban, quoting the Sifra on this pasuk, Masha'amabekan, that the Goyim will find the land desolate for them. This is a good tiding that's wrapped into the last part of the Teichacha. Mivaseres, it tells us, as a public announcement, when we state the Golos because of Avaveros, Shein Artseinu Mikabelos Es Oyveinu. The land will be not only uninhabitable for us because of Avaveros, it will be uninhabitable for any of our adversaries of Goyim around the world. It's a promise Hashem promised us. Eretz Yisrael was the most magnificent land, and there is a Vaskalav Devash. And all of a sudden, when Hashem wants to turn the switch and shut it off, it becomes a land of Shmama and Churbin on incredible levels, from one extreme to the other extreme. Kimiyaz Yatsan Mimenu, anytime Claudius goes into Gullus, in all historical thousands and thousands of years, Lo Kibbu Umavalashon, it never allowed any major population of Goyish entities to be able to resettle the land successfully and make this part of their kingdom. It's not that they didn't try. But they couldn't succeed because Hashem said that if you're not there, nobody else can be there, and therefore they cannot reestablish this as their homeland. Listen, Rome tried. We have the Tekufa post. Other countries tried to settle Eretz Israel. Turkey, the Arab world, couldn't succeed. Nobody could succeed. So according to the Ramban, and this is the way the Beis Halevi learns it, he says that when you see the land and the structures of that land destroyed and the whole land is uninhabitable not only by Jews, but for everybody at large, and nobody has the capacity to turn the switch to make it once again to Eretz Vaskalavash, as long as the Jews are in a state of Golus. That shows you the Ashkacha Pratis of Hashem, that he's basically saving this land for Klal Yisrael, that when they do tshuva, he will return them there, not having the opposition of any major empire that established their kingdom there instead of the Jews. Anybody who tried to establish a threshold there, even the Muslim world, didn't do a great job. That wasn't their ultimate place of their functionality. I mean, the Abbasids had other places that was their Migdash, other places that was their place of Aveda. Eretz didn't become their central location. Whatever they built, there was temporary, momentary structures that might have been strong. But the land was not fertile, was not inhabitable, and therefore people could not live there. You couldn't make a Malchus there. That is the Yad of Hashem saving the land for the Jews for the future. Going back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the second base, first base of Migdash, and the second base of Migdash destroyed to such a level that they're no longer usable as a temple, not only for Jews, but can't even be a pagan temple. And the guy themselves destroyed it, making it uninhabitable. And why was the land uninhabitable for other people to resettle it and let it be the Jews? The Pasuk from Yeshayahu Navi is telling us a remez to what the Ramban says is the pshat of the Pasuk in B'chu Kosai, and what's mentioned in Brisbane Abisarim, that if the Jews can't live there because of their Averos, and they're put into Golos, and the land becomes literally uninhabitable, as Yirmiyahu describes, slowly but surely as the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Sreishon, the land became uninhabitable not only for human beings, even animals, birds, could not survive there. This is the Hashkachas Hashem for Klal Yisrael, that when you see the level of Korban making the land uninhabitable, it's the Besura Taiva that Hashem saving it for us, that we should be able to return later on with not so many complications, able to return when Hashem wants us to return, and therefore an incredible Korban that makes the land uninhabitable is a Besura Taiva, and it guarantees our resettlement in the future. It worked for Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's going to work from Bayis Sheni's Korban to the building of Bayis Shlishi and the ultimate Gula taking place. So Rabbi Kiva said, my smile that I had over here is thinking about all the prophecies of the Bris Bein Abisarim, the prophecies of the Pasuk and Pashat B'chul Kosai, and the Besur Taiva Hashem gave us. When I see the level of Korban that the beautiful, magnificent Makam HaMikdash was totally destroyed by the Romans themselves, it was unusable. The same way the Mikdash was not usable, the Eretz Yisrael became uninhabitable when it came to agricultural production. It lost its quality in Eretz Avas Chalavah Davash. When Rabbi Kiva saw this, he witnessed it, he experienced. He says, Rabbi Isai, this is the message of Yeshayahu Navi. We have the cycle of Korban making the land uninhabitable for everybody, being a Besura Taiva, that Klal Yisrael is going to return and rebuild Eretz Israel. It worked for Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni. It's going to work from Bayis Sheni to Bayis Shlishi. We're going to return. Don't be despondent. All hope is not lost. There's a Besura Taiva, Hashem says, that when you don't deserve to live in Eretz Israel as Jews because of your rebelliousness, nobody can live there. If you can't have it, nobody can have it. And this has been historically displayed for thousands of years. I want to leave with one story, and we'll finish the shiur today. Many, many, many years ago, I was younger, and we still had Gaza under our control in Eretz Israel, where they built magnificent communities in Gaza at that point in time. I had discussed with 10 other rabbanim to be sent over there to have a ability to be taken with buses from community to community, to show the Jews in Gaza Strip that the Jews of America are with them. 10 rabbanim from big 10 Bate Knessios in America visiting them during a time frame that there was tremendous threats to the Gaza Strip by the Arabs shooting missiles into their midst. When we came to Eretz Israel, when Israel Fund, through the Israeli army, wanted the rabbanim to make this visit, they put us into bomb-proof buses, surrounded the bus with tanks and all different types of IDF forms of defense. We went from community to community in the entire Gaza Strip to see the incredible yishuv they had built there, the beautiful homes, the magnificent Bate Knessios, the type of life they were living when it comes to their daily life, and the incredible agricultural production entity there that was worth billions and trillions of dollars, what they were producing and exporting as part of the economic boom of the Jewish people in Eretz Israel. Not only the Jews are benefiting, but the Arabs who lived there, thousands were employed to work in their technologically developed farms and agricultural entities. So they were also having panasa and enjoying the Jews living there. So at this visit that we had lunch with the general who was in control of the entire Gaza Strip, and he brought in an Arab who had lived in this place a long time before the Jews ever settled the Gaza Strip. And the Arab said to us the following, I want you to know, as long as the Arabs lived in the Gaza Strip without the Jews returning here and rebuilding it, the land was uninhabitable. We tried to do agricultural development and we did not succeed. The land was literally desolate, Shemama. When the Jews returned to the Gaza Strip at that time and they rebuilt it with physical homes and their synagogues, and then they developed this incredible technological phenomenon of a multi-billion, trillion-dollar agricultural entity, All of a sudden, the land became fertile again. It became a land flowing with milk and honey. It was not only good for the Jews, it was good for the Arabs as well. We have parnasa, we have a livelihood. And he says, when I saw that happening, the Arab says, an honest Arab, tears came down from my eyes. Unbelievable. Look at the power of the Jewish people. They come into a land that's desolate and they bring bracha, and the bracha is therefore shared with the entire world. That specific event brought to my mind the Ramban in Chumash I just mentioned to you, the reality that when Jews are there and the land's in a state of Erez of Askelav and Davash, everybody is blessed. When, however, I saw that whenever, whatever reason, Sharon did what he did, land for peace, which was a whole Hobamainza, never happened. He kicked the Jews out forcefully. I still remember seeing what's going on. Tears were pouring from my eyes, seeing Jews schlepped from that beautiful, magnificent Gaza Strip, being torn out of their homes and being told to leave and go to other places. When I saw that happening, I saw something else happen. This I want to share with you as I finish my shiur. I saw these Arabs, who were not that appreciative of what the Jews did for them all the years it was settled, went to the homes of these Jews, went to the synagogues built by the Jews that were magnificent, and they tore them apart. They literally made them uninhabitable. And the $1 trillion agricultural enterprise that they built, they literally destroyed it with their physical hands, making the Gaza Strip shmama shebishmama, uninhabitable by anybody. The magnificent oasis the Jews had at that time was destroyed almost overnight by the crazy Arab world. Instead of benefiting from the homes and the synagogues, making them to mosques, and from the agricultural entity, they physically destroyed it with their hands, making it uninhabitable. When I saw that happening, I said, this is once again the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's sending us the message. If you can't be there, nobody can be there. And therefore, what you were able to create momentarily, b'shefa baracha, when you were forced out, and you should have been forced out, and you were deprived the ability to continue making this Erez of Askelav Davash with your hard work and your spiritual activities, the land was destroyed by the people who should have inherited it and settled instead of you. Hashem put into their crazy minds, Sinema Kakelas and Sashura, that they should destroy it, making it unusable for them. The same way Hashem put into the minds of the Babylonians to destroy the first temple, they shouldn't have any benefit from it. They put into the crazy minds of the great Roman Empire, they should destroy the second base of Mikdash, they shouldn't be able to use it. When Hashem sees that the Goyim don't want us to live in Eretz Yisrael, they literally kicked us out. Hashem makes the land shmama momentarily, so not only we can use it, they can use it as well. But there's a Besura Taiva, that since they destroyed on such an intense level, this is the Pasuk of Yishai Navi, that we literally plowed everything asunder. It's a simon that one day it will be rebuilt again. Jews will return there. Once again, it will become an oasis the way it was initially. Eretz of Askelav Davash. So we're living in a tekufa that we're able to return to Eretz Israel in 1947, 1948. Rebuild Eretz Israel against all types of adversaries trying to prevent it, especially the Arab world. How many wars they fought against us to try to kick us off the land and get rid of us. And every war, even though it was dangerous, Rabbi Adniyatim, and we were outnumbered. But the Rebbeinu Hashem gave us Hatzlach because he wanted us to be there, to return, to allow us to return there, and to develop Eretz Yisrael into an incredible oasis when it comes to agriculture initially. But Eretz Yisrael has now even flourished more in 78 years. It's become a major source of technological advancement in the world. Every major technological giant in the world has a factory there, a place in Eretz Yisrael, so they can use the brain power of the Jews to be their employees, to make sure they're matzliach in their technological advancements. Every major firm on the face of this earth, the biggest, want to have a place in Yerushalayim and Eretz Israel. When it comes to the medical technology, Technion and all the major laboratories and scientific investigation houses of study and invention have caused the creation of so many medical technologies that are exported throughout the world to help mankind fight disease. Eretz Yisrael has become a literal center of bracha v'hatzlacha, technologically, religiously, to the entire world. The Chasam Sofer says that's the ultimate bracha, kimitzian teitzei teira, at the end of time. The chacham of Torah contained in the Torah, and the chacham of science and medicine contained in the Torah, will be an erla gayim, will spread to the world at large, We're living in a tekufa with this happening in front of our eyes. And on top of it all, the fact that in world history, our salvation makes a big deal of this, that you establish a country where we have an army that's able to fight on our behalf, defend the Jewish people against our adversaries, and successfully do such against all odds, as the wars showed, no matter how big the enemy was and how more powerful, Rabbi Me'adniyatim on levels that were more powerful than the miracle of Hanukkah. The amount of Arabs that wanted to kill us in 1948 when the declaration of the state took place. Everybody bet in the betting markets in 1 week the Jews will be destroyed, as the State Department's chairman said to the President of the United States, don't worry, the Jewish problem will be taken care of. But Hashem, Hashem is in control, and we won the war 2 years later when they asked for an armistice. War after war, the Six-Day War, and the war we're fighting now in Eretz Yisrael is a continuation of the Sinat Suma of the Muslim Arab world, who want to conquer the entire world and get rid of Judaism and Christianity. Big Iran, the sponsor of terrorism, the most powerful destructive force in this world, when it was confronted by merely the air force of the Jews, was rendered totally incapable of self-defense. Even America, which is probably the biggest defense force in the world, said to Israel, because of what you did to defang the actual capacities militarily of the Iranian world, allowed us to safely come in and finish off the job with our B-2 bombers. Israel is looked upon as a major fighting force, and I found later on that the Gedolah mentioned explicitly, a Medrash Chazal from Shir HaShirim, that when the Jews developed the capacity to defend themselves and fight off our adversaries, even though the weaponry might be given to you by the Gaisha world, but they have the capacity to defend themselves, that is the simon that the ultimate Gula is on the way, and that's the simon of the ultimate redemption taking place. We're living historically in a tekufa that for thousands of years was not a possibility. Don't take this for granted. Open your eyes, open your heart, analyze Jewish history and what's happening now. We're living in a tekufa of miracles. Some are more open, some are more hidden, but this is a tekufa of change. Torah is growing in Eretz Yisrael on levels it never had. Baruch Wang, when he was alive, said he made a cheshbon. The amount of Torah being learned in Eretz Yisrael now, with all the yeshivas and seminaries and everything that's going on, the numbers are incredible numbers, more than most times in Jewish history. We're living in a historical tekufa. If the Jews in Israel realize the koyach of Torah they have there is a magen, it's a shield to the Jewish people. It prevents terrible tragedies from taking place. Instead of trying to shut down the yeshivas because they're not happy with the yeshivas being too powerful when it comes to the religious law having impact upon all the people in Israel, including the secularists, so they're trying all different types of kanunyas to give excuse that to fund the yeshivas. If they think they're helping themselves, they're making a mistake. The power of Israel is the koyach haTorah that's there. That's a magen umatzel, the Gemara says. It shields us and it saves us from destruction. Instead of trying to destroy the yeshivas, they should be supporting the yeshivas and funding them. That's our koyach. Those who want to fight, they should be able to fight and join the army. Klai Ori always had, when it came to the armies that they were able to use to fight their adversaries. Just read Tanakh. When we had Malachim, we had our army. And they fought and they succeeded in the military escapades. So what I'm pointing out to you is we're living in an interesting tekufa. Appreciate it. Pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we shall reach the finality of the Mashiach coming. There are heavenly Mashiach pains we have, but the Gemara says you want to save yourself with the pains of Golis. Yasak b'teira u'b'gemilas chasadim. Chesed and Torah is the ultimate guarantee that Eretz Yisrael will continue to flourish and grow. And ultimately, the harbinger of what we're doing together of Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, Binyan Bayis Shlishi.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.